Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The failure of the American church to preach and teach the entirety of Scripture has resulted in a country that is, as a whole, biblically illiterate. Too many who attend church do not know that the Word of God addresses the issues of today and has answers to today's problems. Additionally, they do not have discernment to determine truth from falsehood. What media sources does the majority of churchgoers use? Do these churchgoers believe in God's design for sexuality, for marriage, for life? We'll also have an update on Bert and Ernie and see what the LGBT activists have to say about them. My guest today is Linda Harvey. She's president of Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thank you for having me on, Diane.
So, world is going crazy. There's no doubt about that. I think part of the problem may be that the church is not doing its job. We're living in an increasingly divided America, and even the church is divided on issues that they should not be divided on, such as marriage, homosexuality, transgenderism, and even abortion. Now, August 20th, you have an article that you wrote entitled Camp Followers Endanger the Church. What is a camp follower?
Well, yeah, you know, this kind of occurred to me when I was trying to figure out why is it that it's an awful lot of younger people who are self-labeled Christians, of course, but it's quite a few middle-aged and older people as well in America right now seem so prone to listening to and believing the mainstream media, even as they completely lie and even make up things and are seeming, in my view, the mainstream media is really undermining America, and people ought to have their eyes open, particularly Christians, but they do not seem to be. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is this? And some of the people I know who are in this that I know the best and I've talked to, and I guess it's not really helping very much, but it seems as though what they've done is they have a camp that they have decided that they are going to be part of, and then they don't deviate from that camp, and all the people, the voices that they listen to, CNN and all the mainstream media, and that's where they want to be, and then they keep making excuses and excuses and excuses as the voices in those camps become increasingly unbiblical.
Oh, unbiblical and crazy.
And crazy.
Do you think they feel comfortable there simply because they're not going against the mainstream? They're not going against culture, the way we see culture headed. Do you think they just feel comfortable there? Not that they're right in being there, but is it a matter of being comfortable?
Well, that's exactly it. An awful lot of the assessment of what do I want to believe and which politicians do I want to listen to and which media do I want to listen to comes down to I don't want to make waves. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, this is not a hill I want to die on, heard that phrase before.
Yeah.
You know, and what they decide is because they've chosen that, then it becomes an issue of pride. I'm going to stay here because the people that I want to admire me or the people that I admire are in this camp. And even though the voices are getting weirder and stranger and advocating outright sedition, it's kind of revolutionary, some of the things that are going on. But people still stay there and will still call themselves Christians. And so we have Christians that are supporting things that are so, even 10 years ago, they themselves would have said were radical, but they are going along with it because it's easier to go along and get along than to take a stand.
Right. And as they are influenced by their media choices, they bring those ideas back into the church itself. In the church, in too many cases, the church leadership is hesitant to address the fallacies of those people who are still calling themselves Christians. The church leadership does not want to address those fallacies. And
exactly.
Yeah, too many churches, you know, you never hear the word sin from the pulpit in too many churches in America today.
And they won't exercise church discipline.
True.
to remove people who, for instance, proclaim that they're a couple and they're homosexual,
mm-hmm.
or they're even a couple and they're heterosexual and they're living together.
Yeah.
And they continue to stay in the church and they make this very widely known, yeah. and they seem to be proud of it. Yeah. You know, that's the issue that needs church discipline. Like, no, you're not going to be proud of this and stay here. You're going to exhibit mm-hmm. something different.
Right. And, you know, that they can live in sin and still remain, and a lot of times remain in leadership in the church. And
yes.
that's even more concerning because they are in that position of influence. It's influencing kids who see this taking place, see the church accepting it. No wonder more and more children who attend church, and not a Unitarian Universalist church or Metropolitan Community Church, but attend a mainline denomination, too many of them are getting the message that it's okay to not be concerned about what the Bible says, and we could just do whatever we want, and God's okay with that. I mean, that's the message that they're getting from these churches that refuse to discipline, refuse to acknowledge that the Bible knows what it's talking about, and that sin is very prevalent in this world.
Yes.
It's
in the Revoice conference mm-hmm. that had so much publicity yeah. is an example in the evangelical church of this being whittled away. And this upcoming Devoted is what it's called, the Devoted Conference for Youth Pastors at a major Cincinnati evangelical church. It's well-known, Crossroads. You've got a person associated with a human rights campaign living with, quote-unquote, her wife, who's going to be one of their presenters. You know, they still call themselves an evangelical church. It's this whole eroding of the basis, because what they're saying is, oh, yeah, we still believe in man-woman marriage, but there are people that have these LGBTQ identities, mm-hmm. and we have to treat them well. Once you've gone down that road and believe that people can't change and that this is really not that sinful, you know, you're about 2 years away or maybe less from embracing those behaviors
oh,
and
absolutely.
Just discarding biblical authority. Yeah.
Absolutely. So you say that Devoted Conference is for youth pastors, youth leaders?
It is for youth pastors. Alan Chambers, the ex-president
yeah.
of Exodus International, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. is one of the people. Nate Collins, who heads up the Revoice movement,
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
also a speaker. And it's going to be on, I thought this was kind of ironic, on October 30th. I thought they ought to move it to October 31st
yeah.
because the whole thing's a phony anyway.
Yeah.
It's a big masquerade show of real Christianity. And, you know, there are people I just got on my email communication from somebody who responded to an article I wrote. And he said down in Cincinnati, he had a couple of longtime conservative Christians who just had moved and changed to a new church, and they were all excited about it. It's Crossroads. And he had to sit them down and show them
mm-hmm.
guess what they're
just
having.
What it was.
And, yeah. So people need to wake up and pay attention to where their leadership is going in the churches.
That's in Cleveland or Cincinnati? Where is it at again?
That's in Cincinnati.
Okay.
It's in Cincinnati.
Wow. Perfect example of the direction, the wrong direction the church is heading, because they should know better. I mean, they should open their scripture, open their Bible, and see what it says about homosexuality, about sin, and about condoning such, and about not only condoning it, but they're indoctrinating youth pastors who will in turn, hopefully the youth pastors will walk out, but I know many won't. They will in turn go back to their home churches and teach the youth in their youth groups gay is okay. That's basically
right.
it in a nutshell. Yeah, the American church is in big, 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 big trouble.
We sure are.
Do you think there's any hope that the church will turn around when it comes to this issue? Or any issue as far as that goes, will the church turn around and begin standing on the Bible again?
Well, you know, I think, Diane, ironically, I think Donald Trump is helping this. People are going to laugh hysterically when they hear that. Here is why I think. One of the reasons people like Donald Trump, he's got many flaws, as we know.
Well, right.
But one of the things he does very well is he stands up and pushes back against the lies of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the reason I wrote that article about the camp followers. Until people start seeing the lies that they're being told and start disbelieving them and turning to another source of information, they will not overcome. They're being led like sheep into
mm-hmm.
sin and into apostasy.
Right.
So once you start saying, I don't think so, I'm going to go to another source of information, then you start looking at conservative and Christian media, and then your eyes begin to open.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that is what's happening. I think people with this whole Kavanaugh situation, I think a lot of people are going to say, you know, this was such trickery
mm-hmm.
and underhanded tactics by the Democratic Party, and the media went right along with it. You know, we have to stand up for the law and order in this country
right.
and for the rule of law and for order. and not undermine our republic. We really have to be protective of what we've been given by God here.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping that it will be a major backfire when it comes to the November election, backfire against the Democrats. When mm-hmm. people look at what has happened to Brett Kavanaugh, it's just terrible. I mean, you know, you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. I mean, you're not proven
exactly.
guilty, then, you know, not say you're guilty, then you have to prove you're innocent. It doesn't work that way in this country. But
right.
we see the exact opposite happening when it comes to the Democrats' treatment of Brett Kavanaugh. So basically, the church needs to stand up and speak the truth. I don't know that they will do that. I think that folks like you and I, and I can name others also, but we need to continue doing what we're doing, and I know we will. But, you know, the church, it's just very frustrating to me. I'm sure I know it is for you to see the church doing what it's doing and seeing that, you know, like Human Rights Campaign, you mentioned that one of the speakers at this conference in Cincinnati is going to be from the Human Rights Campaign. Like, how can a church allow that? How can a church allow Alan Chambers in their door when he is promoting same-sex marriage? He's promoting so many unbiblical things, yet this large church in Cincinnati is permitting this. It's just...
Right.
You know.
It's unbelievable that this has come to this, and people need to be ready and willing to stand up and not be afraid of being called names.
Yeah.
That's what's happening is people are afraid.
Yeah.
They are afraid of what it might cost them.
Mm-hmm.
It might cost relationships. You might have to explain yourself.
Yeah.
And then you have to kind of get ready for the arguments you're going to have. But that's preparation. That's thinking it through ahead of time, knowing
right.
what you're going to confront. And work in the workplace, I mean, people have those issues.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our children. So much is at stake. Our kids are being corrupted so quickly.
Yeah.
And one way they're being corrupted is by being told that what the Bible says really isn't true.
Right.
And you can discard it even and call yourself a faithful Christian. That's the step we've taken over. It used to be the mainline churches. You know, we knew those guys were gone.
Right.
For a while, but no, now it's evangelical churches that
they're
saying, oh yeah, we're biblically based. You're not biblically based
no.
if you're misleading people like this.
And like you mentioned before, the media is very much a part of this, and we see the Human Rights Campaign has had this faith project going on for several years where they're infiltrating churches, and they've pretty much got all the mainline churches toeing the line when it comes to the LGBT issue. And now they're targeting the evangelicals. Unless we wake up, unless we see what they're teaching in the seminaries, we've had the issue with the Catholic Church and their seminaries, but I think evangelicals need to see what's being taught in their seminaries also,
right.
as far
yeah.
as whether it's biblically sound or not. Too many cases, we cannot trust seminaries to produce pastors and church leaders who are biblically based. That's very, very
right.
unfortunate. And of course,
yeah.
that translates their intake as far as the churchgoer, the camp follower, their intake of the mainstream media, the liberal media, the CNN, the MSNBC, and et cetera, that, of course, translates into votes, unbiblical votes. So it's just the ripple effect is just something that we need to consider, somehow get the church back on course. I think we need a revival, but the revival has to start in the church. And right now the church looks like it's almost hopeless, I'll put it like that. Nothing's impossible with God. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's switch to talk about Bert and Ernie. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen Sesame Street because their kids are all up and grown. But Bert and Ernie has been accused of being homosexual. And, of course, that's, again, an effort by the LGBT activists, homosexual activists, to normalize their lifestyle. And recently there, I guess there was something on The Advocate, the homosexual magazine, homosexual online paper. I don't know if they have a print edition or not, but anyway, it's a website. And there was... Bert and Ernie was being debated, was being discussed. The Advocate said in an editorial, it's all about the LGBT world's push to normalize homosexuality through the appropriation of cultural icons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their tactic. They
yeah.
want to appropriate these icons. And, of course, Bert and Ernie is a cultural icon. And if they can, again, target in the kids, which is, again, tragic. But one of the writers for Sesame Street, Mark Saltzman, he has written in the past scripts and songs from 85 to 98. He told QWERTY magazine, which is also an LGBT magazine, that he patterned Bert on his live-in long-term lover, Arnold Glassman, and Ernie was patterned after himself. So this Mark guy says he patterned Bert and Ernie after himself and his male lover. That didn't sit well with Frank Oz, who was the co-creator with Chip Henson of Sesame Street and most of the Muppets. In fact, Frank Oz swiftly said, "I created Bert. I know what and who he is." And he says, "Bert is not gay." You know, again, an effort by the advocate, by LGBT activists to, in their effort to impact kids, they're trying to make Bert and Ernie homosexual. So what's your thoughts on that whole thing there?
Well, you know, the issue that Bert and Ernie are cultural icons, that is definitely true. But think about how strange it is that we are debating the homosexual or heterosexual orientation of fictional puppet characters.
Yeah, that's true.
The whole thing is just hilarious that we've gotten to that point. And yet they do mean a lot to kids. And so this is important. And I'm so glad that the creator came back and said, "Oh, no, you're not going there." Because we know how the homosexual activist and community and their media sources, which are many, and their voices out in the culture, tell lies. And they tell them easily and readily. Fantasy is what their whole lives are based on.
Yeah.
And so they want to make up things about people who are famous figures, even historical famous figures, even biblical famous figures, like David and Jonathan. I just was reading, you know, I read the Bible every morning, and I go from start at the beginning and go through in a year or so, and then I go back again. And I'm now at David, you know, King David, and I just finished David and Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see there's a couple of passages in there that if you know nothing else about, you're just picking out passages, you might twist it to mean that David and Jonathan had something going on. Totally not true if you look at the entire passages in the history of David and the history of Jonathan. Nothing fits. So they just don't know what they're talking about. And this is another example of twisted, trying to normalize, as you said, homosexuality, especially for kids.
Yeah, along those lines, this is, you know, these are just a bunch of puppets, which is very true. But I guess it was quite a Twitter fest or whatever between Frank Oz and the advocate and some of their followers. It says, and Oz dismissed a Twitter observation that, quote, characters often evolve beyond their creator's intentions. And he dismissed that with, "Oh, come on." Because, again, they're talking about puppets. And
exactly.
And it's, but the interesting thing is that the advocate concluded there's nothing strange about coming to the conclusion that Bert and Ernie might be a gay couple. In fact, it's logical. They are two male characters who have lived together and felt comfortable bathing in front of each other for decades. Connect the dots. Says, what is strange are the repeated denials which tap into a sad history of erasure and suggest a discomfort with having queer characters in children's entertainment. The truth is, the advocate says, the truth is that Bert and Ernie are gay because that is how they have been embraced by LGBTQ culture. And no amount of press releases or denials will change that. So it doesn't matter what the creator, Frank Oz, these puppets says. Doesn't matter, because homosexual activists have determined that because they bathe, I don't know how puppets bathe without getting so wet, anyway, they like to bathe in front of each other and they're comfortable with themselves, so thus they are gay, according to the LGBT activists, and it doesn't matter.
If we declare it to be the case, then it is. That's their whole approach.
Exactly.
You know, we have said it. We reimagine truth. We reimagine reality. And they even reimagine God, you know, and so in what God may or may not approve, and that's what's going on, back to the church issue, that's going on there, too.
Yeah.
We'll make Ruth and Naomi to be lesbian lovers, even though nothing about that fits.
Yeah.
We'll make Abraham Lincoln to be homosexual, even though that doesn't fit anything that he ever did.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a bunch of lies.
It's and desperation,
Yeah, and it's back to the church. You are easily deceived if you... We are very vulnerable as humans because there's temptation and your own temptations and you want to believe certain things. And if you don't know the Bible and you aren't grounded in the truth, anyone can be easily deceived.
Absolutely.
And so this is why we have to go back to Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why the church needs to wake up or be, well, the church is, we're all answerable to God. So, and those in the leadership within the church, such as this Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, that's having this devoted to what, I'm not sure, except distortion conference, they will be answerable, as every other church leader and every Christian is answerable to God in what they do. So anyway, how can folks contact you?
MissionAmerica.com is our website. And I have a radio show in Ohio as well, but you can listen to it online. But there's a link for that on the MissionAmerica.com website, so you can go there and sign up for our e-newsletter, which comes out about once a week. And I also write for WorldNet Daily a lot, so many different ways to get hold of us.
Okay, fantastic. That's MissionAmerica.com, and I do encourage your listeners to check out your website and your fantastic articles. You take care of yourself.
Thank you, Diane.
Yep.
You too. God bless all you're doing.
Okay, you take care. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.